Be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love.
And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years. And I believe we have an exciting show for you today. Before we get to our guests, just a couple of announcements. First of all, this coming Friday on the Feast of the Annunciation of Our Lord, you've probably heard that Pope Francis is going to be consecrating the world and in general, and Ukraine and Russia in particular, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary in hope of relief and conversions in that area of the world to bring about a stop to the war in Ukraine. So it's going to take place at 5 o'clock p.m. in Rome, which is noontime here on the East Coast in Philadelphia. And so our Archbishop Nelson Perez will be offering Mass along with the Most Reverend Boris Gudziak, who's the Metropolitan Archbishop for Ukrainian Catholics in the United States. Together they will be offering Mass at noon at the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul in Center City. And the Most Reverend Boris Gudziak will actually be the homilist at that Mass. And so all are more than welcome to attend. We'd ask you to, if you can't attend there, that you at least pray along with our Holy Father as he does the consecration. If you can't make Mass but want to watch it online, I'd encourage you to go to the Archdiocese website at archphila.org. That's archphila.org. And if you click on News and then Press Releases, the third one down has the ways that you can watch the Mass that will take place at noon online. It'll be over the Archdiocese of Philadelphia Facebook page, the Archbishop Perez's own Facebook page, as well as the Archdiocese Vimeo account. And that's where you'll get the link on the Archdiocesan website. Again, go to News and then the Press Releases, and you can get the information there. On Saturday morning, here again in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, we will be having our own pro-life march. It will begin with 8:30 Mass, same place, the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul. There'll be a gathering outside the pre-march rally outside the cathedral at 9:30. And then at 10:30, the march will start. It'll make its way over to the Visitor Center at Independence Hall, where there will actually be a rally, a number of speakers on hand. So encourage all that can to come out and join that pro-life march. Again, that's this coming Saturday morning at 8:30 Mass, 9:30 pre-rally activities at the outside the cathedral. 10:30, the march will start and should get to Independence Hall around noon, where they will have a rally there. Again, all are more than welcome to attend. And for In His Sign Catholic Radio, coming up on Sunday, May the 1st, from 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. out at the Malvern Retreat House, will be our annual Wake Up America dinner. Kathleen McCarthy, president and host here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, will be the keynote. Father McKay and I and the other broadcasters, engineers, volunteers will all be on hand. It's always a great event, and we would look forward to seeing you. The cost is $55 per person, $100 for a couple, or $400 for a table of eight. You can get all the information about the dinner at our website at inhissign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the page, there's two links there, one for a flyer regarding the dinner, and then the second is for sponsorship opportunities. We've not done this at past dinners, but starting it this year, if you're interested in becoming a sponsor, all the information can be downloaded there as well. Again, that's inhissign.com. Scroll to the bottom of the homepage to get the information on the Wake Up America dinner. So, without any further ado, I am blessed today to be joined by Maria Elena Panetta, and she's calling in from Los Angeles, and we're going to talk about a movie that's being released this weekend at a film festival over in New Jersey called Hollywood Priest, The Story of Father Bud Kaiser. Welcome to the show, Maria Elena. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Ken. So great to be with you and your listeners.
And I only had a minute to talk to you before we went live on the air here. And what I mentioned to you was absolutely right. I had never heard of Father Bud Kaiser until the interview was set up. And then this morning, I actually tracked down a trailer of the movie. And what an interesting character Father Kaiser was. And the characters that are going to be in the documentary are names that I certainly wasn't going to expect. And it looks like it's going to be a great film. So, again, I want to thank you for joining us. And I guess we'll start out by, you know, who was this priest, this Father Bud Kaiser? And how come, you wanted to make, you and Father Tom Gibbons wanted to make a movie about his life?
Well, Father Bud Kaiser was a Catholic priest, and he's with the Paulus Fathers. And he was assigned here to St. Paul the Apostle in Los Angeles, which is, we're basically down the street from UCLA. So when I first came here, I think I probably attended masses that that he presided over, but I didn't know him personally. But I would always, I would remember him, being around, and he's this, 6'6", force of nature. So you couldn't miss him when he was around the church. But in addition to being a priest, and he would be dubbed the super priest because he was always so busy, he also was a producer in Hollywood. And considering the climate now, how hard it is to find projects, secure them, and get them produced and broadcast, Father Bud was really trailblazer, in his time. And when people would say, no, you can't produce this, this won't work, he wouldn't take that as an answer. He would always say, no, I'm going to go around. I'm going to find a way to get these produced, find a way to reach out to people with our programming. And he was just always thinking outside of the box. I mean, he passed away 20 years ago at the age of 71. And, people are still talking about him like he's still around. His personality, his presence is still very, very strong in the community.
And your role in the film was as a producer?
Correct, yes.
Very good. And so how did you get involved with the project, Maria?
Well, Father Tom Gibbons, my co-producer, and also he was the director and writer on the film. He was assigned to St. Paul's in L.A. around 2016. So when Father Tom arrived, he was meeting, the different parishioners, and he mentioned that his background was in graphic design. And I said to him, oh, I'm in the production industry. We should grab a coffee and talk shop, right, talk about the industry. So we met for coffee, and he had actually gone on a retreat, and he took Father Bud's biography with him and read it, and he said, Maria, you should read this book. And I have to admit, when I started reading it, I couldn't put it down, because Father Bud was so honest with what was going on in his life. And after I read the book, I said to Father Tom, we need to do a documentary about Father Bud, because as producers, we're always looking for projects to do that would be interesting. And then again, you know, talking about securing them and getting permission. And I said to Father Tom, this is like a no-brainer. This is in-house. I mean, you know, Paul's Productions owns all the Insight episodes, which is what Paul's Productions produce. They have all the material of Father Bud, and we have the book to go on. So I said, we really need to do a documentary, and also in homage to Father Bud being the founder of Paul's Productions. Like, to me, it was perfectly clear that this is a project that they should do.
Very good. So this is 2016. Here we are now in 2022, and it looks like the fruit of your work is about to be shown to folks. So it took some five plus years to beginning to end for the project?
Well, you know, actually, we started out shooting interviews to go along with Insight, relaunch Insight, the Insight series, which was on many, many years ago. But these episodes are still relevant today with the issues they focus on. So we decided in 2019, as we were doing interviews for Insight, we'd also ask people if they remember working with Father Bud, their experiences, and the interviews we were getting were just, oh my gosh, it was golden. They were gems, and we thought, wow, we really have something here. We have a lot of material that we'll be able to accumulate. And we were researching, filming interviews in 2019. Then pandemic hit, and luckily we had gotten the majority of our interviews. So we had, it was kind of a blessing in disguise, because we, you know, since everyone was home working from their computers, we would start editing the film. Father Tom would send me edits to look at. I would give him notes. We'd discuss what should we change, what should we add. And so we just started putting the whole film together in 2020. And at that point, we thought, well, we think we have a pretty good project here. We think this is something that not only Catholics and people of faith would appreciate, but we really think that we could hit a broader audience, because not only is it about Father Bud and his work, but it's also a kind of a look at the history, at the transformation of TV. It was entertainment purposes of all the celebrities that we were able to include in the documentary, and also the Insight episodes. It's still relevant today, all the issues that they were focusing on. So we said, okay, let's go ahead and try to submit it to film festivals. And there's one film festival here in Hollywood called Dances with Films. And I had been to their festival many years ago with a different documentary. And I said to Father Time, listen, if we can get it in Dances with Films, I think we have a pretty good shot at this going even further, because Dances with Films, I don't want to necessarily call it liberal, but it's a pretty independent film festival. And we entered it, and they said, we'd like to have your documentary, we'd like to have the world premiere. So we were so happy and gratified that they saw our film and they liked it, it resonated with them. And after Dances, we went on to different film festivals, Newport Beach Film Festival, there was one in Arizona, Northern California, and now, of course, the upcoming film festival in New Jersey.
Very good. Before we talk specifically about that film festival, you mentioned that there was a number of famous Hollywood celebrities that were involved. And I watched it, like I said, I watched the trailer this morning, and it was John Amos, mm-hmm. Bob Newhart, Marion Ross. So these are, you know, actors that are kind of old now, but when I was a kid, I watched the Newhart show. Marion Ross, of course, from Happy Days. John Amos with there was something, the Good Times, I believe, was the show he was on. So these are all shows I watched as a kid, and here they are in your documentary. And Newhart was great. I mean, and I actually wrote down the quote. He never said it in so many words, but you kind of knew if you didn't do it, You were going to hell. And it was like you just got the impression or the feel for, you know, this Father Bud and the impact that he had on people where, you know, people, you know, trusted what he said and were willing to do what he said. Because like Newhart said, you're afraid if you didn't, you're going to hell. So why were they so willing to be interviewed for this?
Well, first of all, when Insight was first filmed, it was basically the FCC saying we need to allot a certain amount of time for public programming. So that's how Father Bud was able to get these episodes, the series, you know, on air for quote free, and he was able to get these celebrities to be involved in Insight and also, you know, going to our interviews because the caliber of the scripts, the caliber of the cast and crew was the top. It was like the cream of, you know, the creme de la creme of Hollywood. And when people started seeing how good the quality scripts were, more and more people wanted to be involved with the series. And in fact, that's what Marion Ross said. She, you know, in fact, her quote was like, these are good scripts, really, really good scripts, you know, because, you know, she would do Happy Days, right, comedy, and then they would do these dramas with very hard-hitting topics that are still relevant today. So when it comes to the interviews for our particular documentary, you know, the generation was getting older, so we really knew we had to reach out to as many people as possible, you know, while we still could. So even though Father Bud was definitely a strong character, and in fact one of the writers said you know probably would call him gruff to get his way, but he had such a big heart, and you know, at the end of the day, it was to reach people emotionally, to get them to open their hearts and also to think differently. So I think that's why people without hesitancy, they said, oh, yes, we remember Father Bud, yes, you know, we'll be interviewed, because I think they have such lovely memories of working with him and working on Insight.
Yeah, and I guess some of those connections, and I was reading elsewhere today where, you know, he did more than just produce these shows. He would actually travel to Africa. The one thing I had read said that he was actually responsible for making people aware of the famine that was going on in Africa and Ethiopia and elsewhere. And I guess it would help to have the folks in Hollywood on his team to be able to garner some support for relief and those types of things, huh?
Yes. And that's where in our documentary, we have an interview with Father Bud and John Amos, and they were on the Today Show talking about the famine, and they also partnered with Catholic Relief Services, and that was very near and dear to Father Bud's heart. In fact, there was there's a funny part of the interview where John Amos said that they were getting ready for an interview, and Father Bud said, "Hold on a second, I have to grab my shoes." And John Amos said, "What shoes?" And so Father Bud got a pair of shoes that had very prominent holes on the bottom of his shoes. And he told John Amos that, oh, if people see the condition of my shoes, they might be more open to giving money.
Whatever so it takes, right?
He was quite a marketer. He knew how to get to people, yeah. And they couldn't say no.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it's going to be just a great film and a God-loving man that, you know, not only brought Christ and his message to people through film, but also, you know, some of these other works that he was involved in. Well, you know, you mentioned that it was it's already been seen at film festivals on the West Coast, and the primary reason we're talking today is because this coming Saturday, Hollywood Priest is going to be making its East Coast debut again this Saturday at 3:45 p.m. at the Garden State Film Festival at the Berkeley Hotel in Asbury Park. And so what should our listeners know about that? And should they make an effort to go see the film? I can honestly admit I've never been to a film festival. Usually when you hear about them, they're you know, things that I guess you picture the rich and famous going to. But can anybody just show up and go
film
to these festivals?
Those are fun. You can see you know, all kinds of things at the film festivals. But Father Tom will be on site at the film festival, so come out to meet Father Tom, and he'll tell you all about the film. And you know, I think people should come out and see the film because, of course, you know, people of faith, they'll be inspired by this film, but also, I think we're following the tradition of Father Bud because he liked to bring everyone to the table. You know, in fact, with his projects, it wasn't just Catholics or people of faith who were working on these projects. He had various denominations of people working on the project, and some people, you know, they probably didn't even consider themselves, you know, religious, but they knew they were working on great projects and they were very spiritual projects. So, you know, people will see from this film not only will it be entertained, because, again, with our great interviews such as Bob Newhart, they'll see also the challenges of, I think, of the priestly life, right? I think sometimes, you know, when we see priests, of course, we have great reverence for them, and sometimes we might think, oh, you know, they don't have the challenges and problems like the rest of us do, but definitely in this film you'll see Father Bud, he had some problems. He had some struggles with different areas in his life, and he had to, and it was his spiritual life that really got him through those tough times. And you'll be able to see that in the film, and also just his work with Catholic Relief Services. And also his, again, he was a trailblazer in the Hollywood industry. So people from all faiths or people of no faith will really enjoy this film. And again, I think we're always getting the comments that people are so surprised about Father Bud and what he was able to accomplish.
Very good. And just for our listeners, and if you did want to attend, again, that's going to be this Saturday, March the 26th. At 3:45 p.m. at the Garden State Film Festival at the Berkeley Hotel in Asbury Park. And I'm assuming you don't want to show up at 3:45. You'll need to get there earlier. And are there tickets involved? How does the film festival itself work?
Yeah, you do have to purchase tickets. So I suggest going to the Garden State Film Festival website. You could just, you know, Google it and buy tickets ahead of time, and that's the best way to do it. And also, some of the film festivals, of course, since we're still kind of in, you know, pandemic, they're taking the precautions, so it's better to arrive early just to make sure, you know, everything's fine.
Very good. So the documentary is produced by Paulus Productions, and the company that you've been involved with. How did you end up getting involved with Paulus Productions?
Well, it was actually the first project is this one, the Father Bud project. Again, I'm a parishioner at St. Paul's, and, you know, I just started talking with Father Tom. I have my own production company that does documentaries, but Father Tom's like, well, Maria, do you want to be involved with this project? And I said, yeah, I'd love to help you produce it. So that's how I got involved with Paul's Productions. They've been around since the 1950s when Father Bud founded it, and they've done various documentaries, narratives. They did the film Romero about Oscar Romero. That's how I got involved with Paul's Productions. And then we're working on another documentary. So we've been keeping very busy.
Very good. How long's the company been around, and what's kind of been their history?
Well, Father Bud founded Paul's Productions in the 1950s. Wow. And what happened was at St. Paul's, a lot of celebrities, people from Hollywood attended the church. And one of them was Joe Connolly, who was the producer director of the Leave It to Beaver show. And so it was Joe Connolly and Father Bud that started producing the Insight series. And so his, you know, Joe Connolly's connections with Father Bud's producing capabilities got Insight started with all these, you know, top Hollywood talent.
Very good. It turns out that for Father Tom Gibbons, it looks like he's returning home. He's originally from Morristown, New Jersey.
Yes.
So that ought to be exciting for him, huh?
Very much so. When we had the world premiere here in Los Angeles, I was lucky that my parents came into town to be with us for the world premiere and, you know, have our friends here. So it's great that now Father Tom, he's going to have his turn back home in Jersey and with his family and friends in attendance. So it's really nice after working so hard in a project to have your family and friends, you know, and now actually be in person to attend the screenings. It's really great.
Nah, that's awesome. I guess after the film festival, will there be other opportunities for this to be screened elsewhere where people might be able to see it?
Yes. Well, I'm happy to announce we're finalizing a contract with a major broadcaster. We haven't announced it officially, so I can't say the name quite yet. But it looks pretty positive that we might be airing this summer on that broadcaster. And when we're able to, we'll make that official announcement. But also, with the pandemic, a lot of things are going virtual. So that's another aspect that we're taking. We're partnering with different organizations, such as Catholic Relief Services, to do virtual screenings. And we're also making plans to go to in-person screenings at different parishes, universities, schools, and other organizations. So if they just check our website, we make all the announcements on Pauls Productions. I believe it's paulsproductions.org. And all the announcements and news will be posted on there.
Very good. I'm looking forward to finding out where else it'll be able to be seen, because I'd love to see it myself, and I know I can't get there this Saturday.
Yeah.
So what else are you working on? Anything else, future film projects that our audience might be interested in?
Yes, definitely. Well, Pauls Productions, they have a whole slate of projects that they're working on, both in development and production, post-production. But probably the next one up for them is a documentary called For God and Country, and it's about America's combat chaplains, all their sacrifice and service during the war. And it's not just about Catholic chaplains. It's people from different faith traditions. They're also profiled in the documentary. And one life that is profiled is Father Emil Capon, who was a Catholic priest from Kansas, and he served during the Korean War, and he actually died as a prisoner of war. So he's one of the profiles in the documentary, and I believe he was designated a servant of God by Pope John Paul II in, I believe it was 93, and hopefully he'll be canonized, they're hoping, by this fall.
And the name of that again was?
For God and Country. That's the working title right now.
Yeah, For God and Country, because it's interesting, the ministry I'm involved in a neighborhood here in the Philadelphia area, the pastor of the parish just got there last June after being a military chaplain for 28 years. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'll be sure to let him know. He may already be aware of it, but make sure that he is aware. I'm sure he'd be interested.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. So I know when we only had a minute to talk before we got started. We take a break at the bottom of the hour. I think I've covered most of the material that we wanted to take care of. Is there anything else for our listeners that you want to pass along?
Yeah, you know, I just, if they have any questions or if they want to see the latest news about from Pauls Productions and also the documentaries we have coming out, they can go to paulsproductions.org. And I would invite people, Eva, to invite their friends and family, of course, to the various screenings we're going to have, but also people who aren't necessarily religious or Catholic. They would be pleasantly surprised when they see the Father Bud documentary, because, again, it's not just about our faith and how Father Bud was such a spiritual leader, but also the history of Hollywood and also the struggles of the priest.
Very good. Again, our guest today has been Maria Elena Panetta, and she's with Pauls Productions, and we've been talking about Hollywood Priest, the story of Father Bud Kaiser. Maria Elena, I can't thank you enough. I know they originally wanted to try and get Father Tom Gibbons on, but I think he's still on a plane headed here as we speak.
Yes.
So we certainly appreciate the time today and introducing us to Father Kaiser, and we wish you all the success in the world and look forward to this project and others that you're involved in. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ken.
All righty. God bless you. Take care now.
God bless.
So it sounds like a great film that we should all try to get out to see at some point. As she mentioned, a lot of things now, it just seems like they don't even go to a lot of them don't go to the theater anymore. They'll go right to some of the bigger video production outfits like Netflix and Amazon Prime and those types of things. So, again, it's paulusproductions.org. If you go out there, I'm sure you'll be able to keep track of where this is going to be available as things unfold. That brings us to the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have the gospel from Mass today. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Your host, Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and all that you do for us here at In His Sign. We cannot do this without you. So your support is always welcome and certainly appreciated. And we can't thank you enough. To that end, hoping that you can join us on Sunday, May the 1st at our annual Wake Up America dinner. Great opportunity to rub elbows with Kathleen and Father McKay and myself and the other broadcasters and engineers, volunteers here at this great radio apostolate, and help us to raise some much needed funds in order to keep us on the air. Kathleen will, of course, be giving a talk. We'll have a silent auction, some raffles, and as mentioned before, for the first time, we're going to have sponsorship opportunities. To learn more about the event, go to inhissign.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, and there's two different links there, one for the generic flyer for the event with pricing and how to reserve your tables, and then a second one on how to become a sponsor and really help us out here at In His Sign. Also, on Friday, the 25th at noon, Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul here in Center City, our Archbishop Nelson Perez, along with the Most Reverend Boris Gudziak, the Metropolitan Archbishop for Ukrainian Catholics in the United States, who will preach the homily, together with Archbishop Perez, will offer Mass again at noon on Friday, and that'll coincide with the consecration taking place in Rome by the Holy Father, Pope Francis, at 5 o'clock local time in Rome, where he is expected to consecrate the world in general, but and Russia and Ukraine in particular, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Also, check your local parishes. I know St. Gabriel's in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia will be having Mass at noon as well. Father Foley will be offering that Mass. I think we may get together before that to pray a rosary together. But much needed in these turbulent times. And hopefully through this consecration and the prayers and masses being offered, that they can bring this war to an end sooner rather than later. I think that may be it. Pro-life march in Philadelphia, Saturday morning. That's also going to start at the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul. 8:30 Mass, 9:30 rally outside of the cathedral. 10:30 the march will start and proceed from the cathedral over to the Visitor Center at Independence Mall, where there will be a rally. A number of great speakers will be on hand. A friend of the Apostolate, Father Chris Walsh, among others. So I encourage you, if you can, to come on out and make that event. And if you or any of your loved ones are either in recovery or in need of recovery, we have a new Calyx meeting. Calyx is a great organization for folks in 12-step programs and in need of 12-step programs. We have a new unit. It's got started in January at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield, Delaware County. Father McKay will be there on Saturday to offer the vigil mass at 4 o'clock p.m., and then they will have their Calyx meeting immediately following. Again, that's St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield. Come on out and pay us a visit. So I thought we would wrap up this segment today with, or start this segment with today's gospel. And then, it directly relates to some conversation and sharing that took place at our Calyx meeting last night. So the gospel heard at today's Mass is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 17 to 19. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law, until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches other to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The gospel of the Lord, and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And had an interesting conversation last night. And, you know, one of the things we, those of us that are in 12-step programs, a lot of times we'll hear from folks that are in recovery, especially those that may have had a religious upbringing, right, where they're brought up in a particular faith, whether it's Catholic or one of the Protestant denominations, Muslim, what have you, and they land themselves in trouble through addiction and find their way to a 12-step program, and understandably so, you know, a lot of people can come in with resentments against the religion that they were brought up in. I think most of the time it's because they really don't understand that religion. Maybe they it was taught to them as a child, and they still have a child's understanding of that religion. Maybe they did have a bad experience, and as developed a resentment and really don't want anything to do with quote organized religion unquote. And so we hear an awful lot of people that'll say, "Oh, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual." And I don't know how you separate the two, honestly. In order to be spiritual, it means you have a belief in some God. In the 12-step rooms, they would call it a higher power, perhaps. They, you know, people may have trouble with the God thing. And, you know, hopefully sooner or later they can get past that and realize that there is a God, that there is a creator, that there's somebody much bigger and better and grander and what have you than any human that's here. And a lot of times they'll go in for the idea that there was a creator, that, you know, somebody put this world together and you know, that they're in charge and that the individual is not. And that's a step in the right direction. But when we try to separate spirituality from religion, and what I mentioned last night was that it means you don't want to play by the rules, right? You believe that there's a creator and somebody out there that put this all together, but that's enough. I want to be able to set my own rules, right? I want to be the set up my own cafeteria. We talk about cafeteria Catholics, those that pick and choose the things out of the Catholic faith that they want to oblige themselves to follow, and then those that may not be easy, or those that may make their life a little bit uncomfortable, well, we'll leave them to the side. And so they're not all in. And when we don't accept any of these things, if we don't accept, for example, the commandments that Jesus Christ talks about today, and it says, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Well, the good news is, you may be in the kingdom of heaven, that you, even though you break the commandments and teach others to do so, there's still have an opportunity to repent and receive forgiveness and one day enter the glory of the kingdom of heaven. But we need to follow the rules. We need to follow God's rules. He's the one that established them. He created this world and put these commandments and other things that the church would teach, put them out there, not to keep us under their thumb or to maintain control over our lives, but because these are the things that make us happy, joyous, and free. In the 12-step program, they talk about it all the time. That's what we want. That's the goal. Be happy, joyous, and free. Well, the key to that is a relationship with God. And in a relationship, there's rules, right? Even when we have relationships with our spouses, relationships with our parents, relationships with our kids, there's rules, not necessarily written, but, you know, to be honest, to not lie, to sacrifice a little bit and do for their others, to love one another, treat others as the way that we want to be treated. These are rules. They may not be written down and we may not think of them all the time, but they're rules. And when we follow them, when we don't hurt ourselves, when we don't hurt other people, when we don't offend God, we can lead lives that are happy, joyous, and free. Now, that doesn't mean that we never encounter another problem. I hearken back to the last hour with Frank that called and the struggles that he's had, you know, not just for the last week or the last month or the last year, but for multiple years. And so trying to be happy, joyous, and free when we have all these struggles can be difficult, but it's possible. It's absolutely possible. But this notion that we can be spiritual and have a relationship with God but not have to follow any rules means that we're really not following God, that we remain God, that in our pride we can establish the rules. And whatever rules we set up, we can try to live by. And if we do, then we think that we are successful in this relationship with God, when it could be the farthest thing from the truth. And for so many years, that's what I did. I think that's what many of my compatriots did and that landed themselves in 12-step rooms, is we became our own gods. We decided what was right and what was wrong. We decided what we were going to do and what we weren't going to do. We decided what was going to make us happy and what was going to make us sad. And everything was inverted. Everything that we thought that was going to bring us happiness and joy brought nothing but misery. And, you know, we see that today in, you know, two callers that we had in the previous hour, you know, calling in about young people that are struggling with addiction and trying to find God in all the wrong places. They're trying to find that happiness, that joy, that God puts the desire for on each one of our hearts, and they're just looking for it in the wrong place. And it not only impacts them, but it impacts everybody around them. And we often don't see it that way. You know, in our selfishness, we believe that, you know, when we hurt ourselves, well, we're only hurting ourselves. We're not hurting anybody else. And yet we destroy other people. We destroy our parents and our grandparents and spouses and kids. And those that love us the most, they're the ones that we hurt the most. But we, in our own crazy minds, you know, use that famous line, well, I'm only hurting myself, what do you care? And it's precisely because they care that they're the ones that are being hurt. So, you know, in my mind, it's impossible to separate spirituality from religion. If you want to, you can call it whatever you want, but a spiritual life means a relationship with a God. And if you're the one that sets the rules, then you're the God. God's not, is no longer the God. And it can be difficult to think in those terms, to change our lives in such a way and develop a thought process whereby we're actually going to try and follow the rules, especially when we've been rule breakers all our life. And sometimes we do have to get to that ultimate bottom, not the ultimate bottom, which would be death, but such a bottom that we actually are willing to follow somebody else's rules, that maybe somebody else does know a better way to live, does know how to cope with life and get to some degree of responsibility where we're willing to, you know, accept the repercussions of our actions and try to avoid those bad actions in the future. And when we do that, the sky's the limit. And especially, I said in the previous hour, it's when we see it happen in somebody's life where they come around for a little while and that light bulb goes on and they realize, the God is not the vengeful God that had it out for them. And every time something bad happened in their lives, God was responsible for it. You know, they get to a point where they take responsibility for their actions, and they understand that it was those actions that brought about, all the pain and struggles that they experienced, and that there is actually another way to live. And brothers and sisters, I'm talking to the choir because most of you probably understand that way to live. You know, it's following the commandments, and in the end, it's really not all that hard. I've been involved with a group now for a while where we're studying the Book of Heaven given to us by Jesus through Louisa Picaretta and the Gift of the Divine Will. And when God created the world, Adam and Eve were in the divine will. They had not sinned. They had everything that God wanted to give them. They decided, a man decided that, well, maybe we know better. And maybe, that fruit of the tree of good and the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Maybe if I take a little bite of that, I will have the same knowledge of God as God does. And I can become a God. And so many people throughout the course of history have become their own gods. You watch what's going on in the world today, and you can't help but think that there's political leaders that believe that they're God, that it's their way or the highway, that they know better than God as to, what can make this world work. And usually it's for their own benefit, right? Not for the benefit of their subjects, if you will. And so we end up where we are today. And, God quickly saw what was unfolding with man after the fall. And, God said, okay, if you're going to go down this path, here are some basic rules. And they're basic. And it's really hard to believe how we complicate things and how we don't want to follow basic rules, honoring your father and mother. I mean, it should be a natural thing. And I get it. Mothers and fathers, men and women, they're not always the best characters. They have their own struggles. So many people that I get to interact with, had really, really poor examples as mothers and fathers. But hopefully we get to a point where we understand their struggles. And instead of blaming them, maybe come to understand them and honor them for who they were and what they are, and maybe understand why they are the way they are. They didn't choose it. Just like, our young people that become addicted, they didn't necessarily choose it. They were led down a path by usually by others that, said, hey, here's a great way to escape, here's something that's going to make you feel good, and you end up addicted. And those that eventually stay in addiction and become mothers and fathers, why they're addicted, are probably not the best folks to be parents. keeping holy the Sabbath. You know, going to Mass on Sunday, you think about all the gifts of that God has given us, the freedom that we have, especially in this country, the mercy that God has on us when we do fall and we do commit sin and repent and turn back to Him, and the mercy and forgiveness that we can experience. And we can't give back an hour out of the 168 in a week, less than 1% of our time. We can't give back to God on Sunday. You know, I think it's the very least we can do. I'm blessed now to be in a position where I can make daily Mass, and it, what a gift that is in my life. And, you know, I think about Patrick. And, again, I want to thank Frank for coming in here on such short notice to be our engineer today. I shared at the opening of the first hour that the regular engineer on Wednesday, Patrick, a good friend, was in a pretty serious accident on his way here today. And fortunately, he's okay physically. His car probably isn't okay and won't be okay. And I'm sure that he'll be having some emotional, spiritual struggles for the in the near future over it. But, you know, these things happen. And, you know, and Patrick's a guy very easily could turn around and say, "Why me, God?" I know for a fact he was at Mass twice today, 8:30 at St. Gabe's, and then a private Mass that Father McKay offered later. So, you know, there's people that are making daily Mass, two Masses a day. There's people that are showing all kinds of gratitude. That doesn't mean life's going to be pain-free. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have our struggles. And often it's in these times where we are drawn closer to God. And, you know, old Slick, Dr. Pepper, whatever you want to call him, his ears start to perk up, and now he's got a problem. He's got somebody that's not only found their way back to the church, but really growing closer to God, and now he's the one that's got to worry, you know, how do I separate them from God again? I had them, you know, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Satan had us. He didn't have to worry about us. We were in his grip. We were doing his bidding. We were further from God than we've ever been. And now we make that turn and we're drawing closer to God. And old Slick is saying, you know, not so quick. And the gift, at least for me today, is to be aware of that, to know that the attacks are going to come. That, you know, the whole time I was, doing the right thing. You know, he's over in the corner doing push-ups, waiting for the opportune moment in order to tear me down. And could happen. I mean, there's no absolutes in life, especially no absolutes in the spiritual life. And I know at this moment, at 5:53 p.m. On Wednesday, March the 23rd, I'm in a good spot right now. But that doesn't mean something's not going to happen to me in the car on the way home. It's going to turn my life upside down. Doesn't mean that something's not going to happen next week, next month, that Satan will try to use in order to make me question my faith and question God's love for me. And so we need to be on guard, especially as we draw closer to God. And that's the gift of being around recovery for a while. That's the gift of being around and back to my faith for as long as I have been, that I've got that experience and the awareness. I know what I know the gifts that God is willing to give me, and that when I accept them, that I can be happy, joyous, and free today. And 30 years ago, I was anything but. Anything but. And so, you know, we've got the Ten Commandments. We're not going to go through each one of them. But as a set of rules, they're still in force, right? I mean, as Jesus said in today's gospel, he didn't come, you know, to do away with them. He didn't even come away, didn't come to do away with even the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter. And so he came to fulfill it. And in doing so, He opened the gates of heaven wide open for us. And today, for me, that's not something that I have to wait to die to experience. That we can get glimpses, that we can experience the kingdom of God right here on planet Earth right now. And it may come in glimpses. It may come for extended moments. May even come for minutes or hours. Maybe you're really lucky and you get a whole day or a couple of days. But we get glimpses of that kingdom. And brothers and sisters, there's a time coming. Who knows when? Some are predicting sooner rather than later, where that's going to be just the way it is for everybody full time here on Earth. We're promised that era of peace. Going to take quite a bit of work on God's behalf in order to bring that about. Could happen today, could happen tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. But I don't know how much worse things can get before God says enough is enough and draws all of his people back to him. And I would imagine that there will be some people that wouldn't be able to survive that, those that are so entrenched in their own ways that have no opening at all to allow God in, and the shock may be so bad that they can't recover from it. But I believe that's not what God wants. God wants each and every soul. You think about the stories Jesus tells about how all of heaven celebrates the return of one soul, that lost sheep, and it's Jesus' goal through his life, death, and resurrection, his passion, that not a single soul be lost. In that agony of the garden, he sweats blood over the idea that any of his sheep would be lost, that he sees the sins of all mankind from Adam until the last human being that walks this planet. He saw every single sin. And his mission was to make sure that every one of those sins is forgiven, that people would be willing to repent and accept his mercy and enter the kingdom of heaven. And so, regardless of what comes, whether it's, and in what form it comes, chastisement, warning, however God sees fit to make that happen, that those of us that believe, that are willing to accept God's mercy, have nothing to fear. It's not going to be easy. Very few things in the spiritual life are easy. If they were easy, it wouldn't be, there'd be no reward. Some of the things where we get the greatest reward are for overcoming the greatest struggles in life. And so that's what part of this Lenten season is all about, right? That we've spent 3 weeks now, and 3 weeks today, as a matter of fact, getting ready for Easter and Holy Week. And to delve into the passion, into our Lord's passion, and what he was willing to go through in order to redeem us, to open the gates of heaven to us, so that, as Father McKay says all the time, so that we can live that divine life. And that, again, was the goal from the beginning of time, for each and every one of us to live that gift of the divine will, to be divine through participation, not God's ourself. And so I hope your Lent's going well. If it's not, you still got plenty of time to get on board. Spend some time, reading Scripture. Spend time with the Passion in particular, and come to realize what God has done for us. Again, these 2 hours have flown by on this Wednesday. I want to thank Frank again for being able to join us on short notice, for Maureen, for all that she does here, and for all of our listeners and what you do in order to keep us on the air. I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.